What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Sports Business Podcast, the Spotify/Anchor Podcast Original. I am your host, Eric Compton. The podcast is available on all platforms, so wherever you're getting your podcast from, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. You can find me on Instagram at Money Compton. You can also find me on the Twitter/X Universe at Sports Business. You can also email the show, sportsbusiness@gmail.com. Coming up on today's show, we are going to talk about the Super Bowl, what I liked, what I didn't like. Going to be able to talk a little bit about that halftime show as well. And if we got some time, we're going to go ahead and do some NBA fast break takes. And then also, last but not least, we're going to do the dummy of the day. But first things first, this show is being recorded. What time is it? It is Sunday night at 9:47 Pacific Standard Time. Coming off the heels of the Super Bowl, which we'll get into that. But I must say, I live here in Las Vegas. I can't even sit here in front. The city did a banging job as far as how Las Vegas does things. The thing about Las Vegas is it's been made to be able to do big time things. So, you know, the city don't really have to do a whole lot of reconfigurations as far as closing streets down and things like that. I mean, a few months ago, they just had the Formula One racing out here. You know, and that's probably the biggest modifications they had to do. But there's mad conventions out here. March Madness is always out here. They have Raider games out here. So, all in all, the city didn't really have to do a whole lot of adjustments outside of one major road being shut down. But I will say the city did an amazing job. Made me really, really happy to be a resident here of Las Vegas. You know, special shout out to my man, my two of my best friends, Clayton and Sergio. Got to kick it with them boys over the weekend. Because usually 9 times out of 10, when things are popping off on the strip, your boy really ain't really seen out there. So I don't really make my rounds. But this weekend, had some of my really, really good friends come into town this weekend. And what did we do? We went to go check out the Spear. Amazing show. We did the NFL experience Saturday, which I think there was about an estimated 35,000 people were there on Saturday alone. We went to go check out the Shaq All-Star Comedy Show last night. And then Friday night, we went to the Wu-Tang Show, the Wu-Tang Residency. So really just an amazing weekend of just a lot of different festivities, a lot of different parties that your boy was able to, you know, do a pop-in and show face out here in the local streets. Now, everyone wants to know, did I go to the game? I did not go to the game. I watched the game with family and had a great time. So, needless to say, Las Vegas, they did an amazing job. Super duper proud to be a Las Vegas resident, which now I get to say I consider this home. But anyways, let's talk about the Super Bowl. We are coming off the heels of maybe an hour or two where this game almost went into double overtime, where the Kansas City Chiefs were able to go back-to-back champions against the San Francisco 49ers with a score of 25-22. I didn't do a pregame show or a pre-Super Bowl pick show just because I was running around, and by the time I got caught up with everything, I just didn't have time to actually hit the send button. But if you listen to my playoff prediction shows, the entire postseason I have been saying Patrick Mahomes is Michael Jordan. I'm not picking against Patrick Mahomes. I kept saying that to my inner circle that, hey, I know that, you know, you see me out there at a lot of 49er games. I will wear a 49er drip. I will even wear a 49er drip tonight at our Super Bowl party. But I kept saying I can't pick against Michael Jordan, which is Patrick Mahomes. And lo and behold, I honestly thought up until halftime, I thought the 49ers were going to pull off the shock of the world. The 49ers, you know, Christian McCaffrey fumbles the ball on the first drive, which they're still able to contain. The, you know, I don't even think the Chiefs got anything off of that first drive in the first quarter. So I say all that to say, the San Francisco 49ers, if you look at the overall portfolio of the game, did not play a bad game. It really just turned out to be Patrick Mahomes in the second half was like, all right, y'all, I'm done playing games. We're going to go ahead and y'all need to just jump on my back and I'll figure this out. He ended up scrambling a lot more. He ended up, you know, making plays. Him and Travis Kelce started figuring things out together. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was literally just one team had arguably at this point the greatest football player of all time, the other team didn't. The San Francisco 49ers, and I know 49er fans don't want to hear this, but they have nothing to be ashamed of. They literally don't. There's probably three key plays that I can probably I'd feel like I'd be nitpicking. That's in overtime. I think it was a third down play. I'm not too sure why Steve Wilks, the defensive coordinator, called an all-out blitz on that third down where they were, I think it was third and long, I think third and 14, and they were able to get almost all of that yardage back where it was a fourth and one. Patrick Mahomes pretty much has a option route where he could either pitch it off to Travis Kelce or he could go on and take off for the run. That's a tough play to defend, but I just had a really, really, that's one of the plays where I just kind of looked at Steve Wilks, like, ooh, why are you going for all-out blitz like that in overtime? It just didn't really seem right. The other nitpick thing is probably the third and fourth inside the red zone in overtime where Brock Purdy, you know, has a tough throw. Why didn't they go for it on fourth down? Well, I mean, if you don't go for it on fourth down, I mean, technically the Chiefs at that point, at a minimum a field goal, they would have to take the long field back, score. You know, I really don't hate the going for 3 points. The number one thing, and this isn't even necessarily a bad play call. I felt like the Chiefs just dug in a little bit more deeper than the Niners, was the missed extra point. And I kept telling the people at my house or at my folks' house, I said that extra point block is going to end up biting the Niners in the ass. And I think it did, because now when the Chiefs, you know, it would have been 17-13, but ended up being 16. You know, the Chiefs can now, because now if the extra point is made, the Chiefs have to go for a touchdown. They don't necessarily have to play for the field goal. And, you know, they ended up going into tie, going into overtime. So the Niners overall didn't have a bad game. I think Brock Purdy played a pretty decent game. 23 for 38, 255 with a touchdown. Christian McCaffrey, 22 carries, 80 yards, got that touchdown catch from Juwan Jennings. So, I mean, I'd be nitpicking. The only thing I'd say is George Kittle, two catches for 4 yards. You got to figure out some way to get my man's involved. Debo didn't have a huge impactful game as well. But it just came down to the Kansas City Chiefs got Michael Jordan. Now we really have to start honing in on Michael Jordan, a.k.a. Pat Mahomes, because literally the second half, if you take away that interception my man's threw, it really wasn't else. My man's literally played a perfect game. He literally was like, all right, give me the ball. Let me stop playing with these boys. Let me go ahead and figure it out. So I think, you know, this was probably one of the better Super Bowls I've seen in a very, very long time. I mean, for the most part, the last few seasons, they've been really, really good. But this one in particular, I mean, I really walked away saying that, man, that was one of the greatest football games I've ever watched. And I know, like I said, we're probably about 90 minutes after the game. We're all still caught up in the moment. Like I said, I know Niner fans don't want to hear what I got. You know, no one wants to hear, like, man, both teams played good. You know, someone had to lose. I get it. Y'all ain't trying to hear that. But I'm telling y'all right now, you know, I don't know what else they could have did outside of the fact that Patrick Mahomes just didn't suit up and play. That's the part that just is a little bit more, you know, frustrating. I know there's going to be a lot of Monday morning quarterbacks right now. I know a lot of people are questioning that third down call inside the red zone that they had. But, you know, it is what it is. Now, we can start talking about the future for both teams. Here's the thing about the 49ers. This is three Super Bowls. Actually, they've lost three Super Bowls. I think they've lost four or five conference championship teams, championship games. You've got Trent Williams, who I believe is 36 or 37 years old. You've got Kyle Juszczyk, who's a little bit, you know, seasoned. You got Debo Samuel, you got George Kittle, you got Brandon Ayuk, who's going to want a new contract. You know, Christian McCaffrey, we don't know how much more he's got. Then you got that whole defensive line. Chase Young is a free agent this year. Randy Gregory is on a rental. The Niners have a lot of different answers they're going to have to. There's been a lot of questions that they're going to have to answer with some of the roster moves coming up this offseason. Is Trent Williams going to come back? What are they going to do with Brandon Ayuk? I think they can sign Brandon Ayuk just because Brock Purdy is on such a cheap deal. But what are you going to do with George Kittle? I know he's still under contract. Christian McCaffrey, I believe, is still under contract. What are you going to do with Chase Young? What are you going to do with Randy Gregory? There's a lot of questions that need to be answered, I think, on the defensive line of next season. Eric Armstead, what do they want to do with him as well? So there's a lot of questions that need to be answered for personnel moves coming into next season. Is this a team that you did that John Lynch, the general manager of the 49ers, definitely thinks that they can be good? I'm looking at the NFC right now. If I'm just taking a quick scan, who's going to be able to compete with them boys? Is Philly going to be able to be the same team that they were the first 10 or 11 games before the 49ers broke them? What's Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys going to look like next year? What are the Detroit Lions, which I'm going to tell y'all right now, I don't believe in them boys. So, you know, you can go ahead and just move them to the side. But I'm looking at the Green Bay Packers a little bit more. I'm paying attention to them a little bit more. I might pay attention a little bit more to the LA Rams, just being the fact that nobody believed in them this year and they still figured out a way to be a very, very productive team. Tampa Bay, you never know what they got going on. Atlanta should be, you know, if they can they figure out a quarterback. So there's going to be, I think the overall quality of NFC football next year should be a little bit better. But it's still right now, I'm not going to bet against the 49ers, but this is a team that now they have to look at themselves in the mirror and be like, John Lynch is going to have to really have some straight up tough decisions that he's going to have to make and say, is this team the way it's built right now? Can they win a Super Bowl? And as long as Patrick Mahomes is there, they, you know, it's going to be an obsession at this point where what can they do? And I don't know what the answer is. Now, on the other side for the Kansas City Chiefs, you got Chris Jones that played like on a one-year cheap friendly deal. What is he going to want to do? Travis Kelce, I'm not going to say he's getting long in the tooth, but he had a great year, but not a dominant year like he's used to having. I think this is the first time he hadn't had a 1,000-yard season. I think it was only short by like 50 yards. So, but still, you're going to have to figure out some answers at the wide receiver position. And who would have thought, ironically, that Kadarius Toney today was a healthy scratch? And he's pretty much been a healthy scratch essentially this entire postseason, that they were making things happen by addition with subtraction. You know, all three postseason games that the Kansas City Chiefs played, Kadarius Toney didn't play, and the offense just looks so much better. You have Mecole Hardman, you know, make some plays. You have Marquez Valdes-Scantling make a touchdown grab. So, you know, the receiving core group, you know, they looked like a team that was more in sync. I know there were a couple of drop passes that they had, but for the most part, they played really, really, really well. So, but they still need help on the outside, on the perimeter. Does Travis Kelce come back next year? I'm assuming so. Seems like it. Looks like Andy Reid is coming back. You already know Isaac Pacheco is coming back. So it's really going to be, can they keep Chris Jones? What are they going to do with that? And maybe help with the wide receiver position. But if you're asking me right now for Eric's early predictions right now, I'm probably going to say it's Kansas City and the 49ers running it back in the Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. I just don't see anybody in the NFC really challenging the 49ers if they continue with the same team that they're built right now. So, like I said, those are your Super Bowl initial reaction. It was a great game, and I know it's just, I feel it's tough. Like, I want to be able to clown on the 49ers, but there ain't really nothing I could clown on them boys because they played a great game. They legitimately played a great game. They just ran into Michael Jordan. And Patrick Mahomes is about to make a lot of these people look like a whole bunch of Reggie Millers, Patrick Ewings, Charles Barkley's, Karl Malone's. I guess we're not allowed to say Karl Malone, but John Stockton's. He's just going to be a whole bunch of great players that were just in the wrong era. And I think this dude's just got hit. He's got this on lockdown at this point. So even in the Super Bowl loss against Tampa Bay, like, he was the best player on the field. So just a really, really great game. Someone just had to lose, and that somebody was the team that ain't got Michael Jordan on their squad. So, like I said, Las Vegas, great Super Bowl, great Super Bowl weekend, and really, really glad to be a part of it as much as I was this weekend. Now, let's talk about this halftime show. So, I haven't really been on social media as much while I was watching the game, and since post game, I had to actually drive back up to my house to do the show, but I will say this. I have been to Allegiant Stadium 7 or 8 times since it's opened up in 2020. And I must say, the acoustics in that stadium is horrendous for it to be a $2.2 billion stadium. The sound system, or I don't know if it's the sound system or the acoustics, whatever the case may be, it is horrendous in there. However, I don't know what it sounded like actually at the game. I've been to, you know, when you go to these Raider games, they have, especially this year with 50 Years of Hip Hop, they had, I think I went to a Rick Ross performed at one halftime and Lil Wayne performed at another halftime show. The acoustics in there are just shot. So I don't know what it sounded like in the actual stadium, but I know everyone was complaining about Alicia Keys. Didn't sound that good. Her mic was a little messed up. I will say this, like I said, for somebody who's been there on a regular basis, the sound system shot. Now, from what I've seen with Usher, that might have been, I'm going to put Michael Jackson, Prince, Bruno Mars, and this up here. Like, that's in no particular. I think Michael Jackson is number one. Michael Jackson or Prince is, you know, one. Number one, number two, you know, that's how I would put it. And then everything else, you can kind of, you know what I'm saying, get it together. But Usher killed it, y'all. Like, Usher killed it to the point where I am a little salty that I have not been to his residency show yet. I think that's one of the only things I have not done. But Usher's halftime show, I mean, I thought it was amazing. The her performing was a surprise. I didn't even think about her at all coming up. I kind of knew JD was going to be there just because I ran into him on the elevator. I kind of had a feeling that Luda was going to be there. Lil Jon lives out here, so that's a no-brainer. I saw something about Alicia Keys coming. I thought Justin the Biebs was going to be out here, but he didn't make it. But other than that, the halftime show, amazing. 10 out of 10. Everyone on this, you know, we don't complain about the sound system. I'm with you. I'm with you 1,000%. Allegiant Stadium's going to have to do something about that this offseason because the sound system was horrible. It's been horrible. And they're going to have to figure that out because it's always been that bad. It just was just really worse because, you know, they aired the halftime show and a lot of people had issues with the audio part. So I get it. But yeah, the Super Bowl was amazing. The halftime show was great. The city did a great job hosting the Super Bowl this year. And I ain't got nothing too bad to say about it. But let's talk about these NBA fast break takes since we're already here on the show. Hey, man, the Milwaukee Bucks, I saw something that Glenn Rivers is going to be coaching the Eastern All-Star team because Joe Mazzulla coached it last year, and I guess the coaches can't coach it 2 years in a row. The Bucks have been, I believe, 2-5 or 2-4 since Glenn Rivers has gotten the nod as the coach. All I got to say is, like I said, the Bucks better win or else. And I know that they made some trades with acquiring Patrick Beverley. Robin Lopez is no longer there. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I don't know if Pat Beverley, he's a great defender. He's a great player. You know, he's a great role player. I don't know if Pat Beverley is what they needed to solve their problems. He is a better defender than, I'm not going to say an on-the-ball defender than Dame Lillard, but I just don't believe in small backcourt. So you're telling me that your strong backcourt is probably going to be Pop Bev and Damian Lillard? Man, I don't know how I feel about small. I don't know how that's going to work, but we shall see. Is Karl-Anthony Towns? What are you doing, bro? Like, or do you want to be considered? How serious do you want to be taken right now? Because I really legitimately feel that he is going to be what holds the Minnesota Timberwolves back. Is he want to be a big man? Or does he want to be a tall man? It's a huge difference. And I think that's why they got really Rudy Gobert there. But I think he needs to figure out what he wants to do in order for me to consider the Timberwolves a threat. As far as the NBA trade deadlines this past week that took place, there wasn't nothing really significant that popped off. Like I said, Pat Bev went from Philly to Milwaukee, which I always feel a little weird about those type of interconference or slash division trades. Just because I feel like that's going to end up biting somebody in the butt. Joel Embiid being out for an extended period of time where I think they're not even going to check up on him until another month. That is a huge red flag for me with the 76ers where I got to take him out of the serious contender list because it's always something with the Sixers and Joel Embiid's health. Which leads me to say this. If the Golden State Warriors don't win the NBA championship, which it looks very, very likely that they aren't right now at the stage that they are, I'm picking as a dark horse team the New York City Knickerbockers. That's right, I'm picking the Knicks. The Knicks are probably my favorite team to watch right now. Tom Thibodeau, a.k.a. The Butcher, Sam the Butcher from the Brady Bunch, got them boys playing. And I know they got the injury bug that's kind of biting them right now with Julius Randle being out for a few weeks. Jalen Brunson has been out a few days. OG hasn't played a few games as well. So there's a little bit. And then on top of that, they just retooled their lineup as well, where they got a few key players that's going to help them. You know, they got Bargnani from Detroit and whatnot. So I think the New York Knicks, it's a safe bet, barring what happens with Philadelphia, to say that they should be a top 3 to 4 seeded team in the East. Just by default, you got to put Boston. I don't know why I'm putting Milwaukee in there, even though I just said that I don't believe in the boys, but for some reason, you still got to put them in there. But I think you got to put Milwaukee in there. And then, you know, seeing how whatever Miami wants to do, you can make it happen. But somehow the New York Knicks have to be a top 4 team, which I wouldn't be shocked if they aren't. But I got big hopes for the New York Knicks to be able to make a long playoff run this year. You know, Cleveland has been balling out of control, but I definitely think that that the Knicks can make things happen. Now, people are complaining about the Los Angeles Lakers, the Golden State Warriors. They didn't really make any trade deadline moves. Well, to be honest with you, what would you like to have? Here's the thing about the Lakers. Laker fans just be wanting everybody. They just be out here playing GM mode with no salary cap rules and just all this other nonsense shenanigans where they just feel like they're entitled to every superstar known to mankind. It don't work like that. Just take it easy. But I will say this. Who did y'all want to come here? Because even if you brought DeJounte Murray, that ain't going to solve all your problems. There's shooting problems that you have. And I know that they just picked up Spencer Dinwiddie from the waiver wire. And he should be playing really within the next few days. But for the most part, I don't think that there's nothing that they could have done that immediately pole-vaults them to be a top 4 seeded team in the West. It's the same thing with the Golden State Warriors. The thing about the Golden State Warriors is they've held on to their assets a little bit too long. Like I said, I'd have flipped Andrew Wiggins before the season began last year. And Jordan, I'd have flipped Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, and Moses Moody before the season began last year is what I would have did. But they didn't. So even with Warrior fans, what did you think was going to happen? There was no player out there on the open market, especially with Zach LaVine being out for the rest of the year, where they're with a foot injury or something like that. Where are you going to get DeMar DeRozan, who's, you know, he's long in the tooth? Would you have gotten? I know there were rumors that the Warriors were trying to get Kelly Olynyk. That's cool enough. That's cool again, but I think this is just one of those situations where you're just going to have to roll with what you got, address the situation at the end of the year, and just kind of see, just hope for the best. Now, with the Warriors hoping for the best, they have been, they've won 7 out of their last 10 games, including a very, very high competitive game against the Phoenix Suns last night. So the Warriors are starting to get a little bit healthy. Draymond Green is back. Chris Paul should be coming back really, really soon. So I'm not saying, like I said, if they win 41 games this year, I think that is a huge success. I just don't see this team being a top 6 seeded team and then just being taken serious. I don't see them catapulting over New Orleans, the Thunder, the Suns, the T-Wolves. I'm just finding a hard time to believe it in that. So I think the Warriors and the Lakers, those two teams in particular, what you see is what you get. They are what they are, and you're just going to have to roll with the punches with them boys. So it is what it is. But, you know, you got to take it and go with that. So you just got to roll the ball down the court and just make things happen now. So it is what it is. I'm trying to see. That is about it for your NBA Fast Break Takes. Now, before we get up out of here, we definitely got to talk about this W of the day. And this happened, I want to say, Wednesday. So this past Wednesday, a pro-life supporter person chose to climb up the MSG Sphere here in Las Vegas to, you know, promote his beliefs and whatnot, free, with no cables, no restraints, nothing. That just straight up, and I think he caused about either $100,000 worth of damage. But what are you doing, bro? What were you thinking that was going to happen? You thought you was going to get up there and just keep it pushing and nobody was going to catch you? So he climbs up there, causes all this damage. But my thing is this. You did this with no equipment. And one little slip, and we would have to, people would have to know if your beneficiaries are up to date. Like, if you want to climb up the thing, I'm not going to say I'm cool with it, but dog, you ain't got no rappel rope or a parachute or something where if something goes bad that somebody going to catch you? Like, that's what you was thinking? So, yeah, the pro-life dude that climbed up the spear, you definitely get the dummy today. I don't know what you was thinking. I don't know what you're trying to accomplish by climbing up these huge buildings, but hey, more power to you. But that is the Sports Business Podcast. We do the show about once a week. You can check us out on all different platforms, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, Google, you name it, we there. You can find me on Instagram at MoneyComp. You can also email the show at sportsbusiness, sportzbizness@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter/X, that's sportsbusiness, @sportsbusiness. And email the show, let me know what you thought of the Super Bowl. Did you think it was great or not? But I definitely thought the halftime show was great, and I thought this was a great Super Bowl, so... email the show. Let me know what you think. But until then, I will talk to y'all next week. Be out.